I'm going to read something to us, and I don't know how far we'll get with it, but we're going to start in the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to read us a story, an account, a real life account of real moments. And we get to read it here in Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to read from verse 13. And we're going to read down like this whole section. I'm going to read down to verse 32. But this account, and we think of, if you know your Bible and you know this famous chapter, but it's talking about a little journey that some people went on. It's called the Road to Emmaus. And just before that, we find the account of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Amazing. And we read down in the beginning of this chapter 24, and you find that in that passage, people have gone to the tomb and they're looking for Jesus and he's not there, and you have that story, and I encourage you to read it, and they're looking for him and he's not there. And but the resurrection has happened. Jesus is available, and we read this from verse 13, and it says, "Behold," I like this beginning, look at this. "Behold, two of them were going that very day, to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, ordinary moment, on a walk to Jerusalem, in that sense, ordinary. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached them and he began traveling with them." That's a moment. Jesus approached them and then he goes with them on their journey. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him, and he said to them, this is quite playful in a way. He said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of these things which have happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things? Man alive." It is like, I mean, this is like a poignant, profound moment, but there seems to be humor here. The Lord Jesus himself, having gone through everything that he has gone through, and then they're walking and they're talking, and then he asks them, "What things? What things?" It's wonderful the way that the Lord Jesus does this. And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also, some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and they did not find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over." And so he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table, such rest, reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. This is an amazing story, I think. And we're going to just move through quite quickly this morning. But he came alongside them as they walked and talked. And he came alongside and he walked and he talked with them. And this, as we know, is just directly after the resurrection. And some of the disciples and the ladies, they've been and they've looked, where is he? And they don't find him, but here he is. And the first thing in this sense that we see him doing, he comes and he draws alongside and he's walking and talking with his people. Remind you of anything? The other week, I was thinking a bit about the garden, and this is exactly in that sense what was going on there. And God comes and he's walking and he's talking with them. And they didn't recognize him in the moment, but fascinating that later, when they see, and they see clearly, but then they can look back at that moment and think, when he walked with us, that's our lives, our real ordinary lives. When he walked with us and when he talked with us, there was something on the inside that was on fire. Something burned. There was a passion on the inside when he spoke. Living word. Living word always comes from Jesus. And when he speaks, something on the inside, it burns in response. It does. When you're alive to him and he speaks to you, this is good, isn't it? God speaks. If you say that to other people who don't know him, they think you're bonkers. But God, he speaks. And he speaks living, active, sharper than a two-edged sword, word. And he speaks, and he can speak into a moment and into a situation and into our lives, and there is a response to him. And there is a burning response to him. There is a passion that he has put on the inside. Amazing how God can do that for us. This is real. It is active in a moment. And there's something in response to Jesus as we walk and talk with him. In this account, they were talking and walking. They were talking with each other. And then he came and he joined in with the journey. Wonderful. And then he's in the conversation. And he's talking with them. And then later they recognize, oh, when that was happening, there was a burning on the inside. There was a response going on. I didn't maybe realize it at the time, but looking back now, I can see that God was active in the moment. And there was a passion in me because of him. God works in this way, and we need it to be so. God save us from apathetic Christianity. When Jesus speaks, there is a burning, passionate response to the Son of God. Do you recognize this? wonderful. Amen. It's wonderful. And this is what happens in this moment. And here it is. This isn't my phrase, but I like it. One of the things that God does amongst his people as he speaks is that he creates. And he creates what has been referred to as a fellowship of the burning heart. Oh, do you like that? I do. It's like I identify with that. There is this togetherness, this collective of faith because of him and his speaking, which creates a fellowship of the burning heart. Oh, do you want to be a part of that? Yes. Amen. And we are. And this is what God does, and it's wonderful. And we read down, and the thing is, I've been thinking a little bit about this. That response to Jesus and his living, speaking, active word, that he has done something in us that responds to him in this way, there is part of that, there is this longing after God. Jesus speaks. It's real to me. Part of what it does is it kind of encourages, it draws out of me this longing after him. I already know him and I already love him, but when he speaks to me and I hear him by his spirit, there is something responsive and it's just like there's a longing after him. And I go with him wherever he's going, wherever he's taking me, there is a longing. And here's the thing. I discover longing is good. We're like British people, frankly. If you're not, thank God. But if you are, British people, we're not always so good at passionate responses to Jesus. We are really controlled often. I am. And actually, he can set us free on the inside. And we can have a longing after him, a passion after him. And it's good, and it's freeing, and it's liberating. And we go with him where he takes us without question. It's like, yep, I'm coming. And we go with him. And he puts a longing in us. Do you know what? You see this in lots of different people, right? If you talk to a sailor about the sea, I recommend it. Talk to a sailor about the sea. One of the things, like proper true sailor, right? One of the things that he'll identify, that there is, on a different level, there's like a longing for the ocean. There is. I've seen this in people. This is a real thing. You're looking at me, but it's true. There's a longing for the ocean. And if you're on the land too much, it's like, oh, I need to get back to the ocean. It's like there's a call of the sea. Have you heard of this? There's like a call of the sea. Do you know mountaineers are like this? I'm doing this on purpose. It's in us. And it's of God. And it's for a reason. And there's mountains. And it's just like, if you want to talk to a mountaineer, he'll be restless until he is going to the mountain. It's like, there's a mountain. I need to climb it. I need to get up there. I need to see the heights. I need to go. It happens. Here's one. I've got right into this. This is like really boring. Listen, talk to a farmer about soil. Honestly, it is the same thing. He will pick it up. There's something in him. It's true, isn't it? There is something in him. And there's a longing. And he longs. God did that. Why? Why? God did that in people, in all sorts of different ways. Music. Poetry, art, fill in the blanks, all kinds of things. And depending on you and your personality and who you are, there can be a response
a longing after something other. Why? If that cannot be realized in some real way, then it is a horror. But it isn't. Why? This is important. God has put longing in us. And on what level is longing rightly worked out? Things have to be worked out, don't they? They do. Things have to be worked out. And is this worked out in a right way? And here's one, and we know this, Psalm 42, and it's that famous passage, and it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul, it longs after you. Amen. Longs after you. Now, I think sometimes we think of that part of that psalm, and in our minds, we've got this idea of this nice little meadow and Bambi, and it's just like, that isn't the image. It isn't. There's this deer, and it is dying of thirst, and the land is arid and barren, and it's like, I need water, living water. And it's like, my soul, it longs after that, Jesus, living water. And he's put longing in us, longing and belonging. He has. It's good, isn't it? Because we know where to go. And all of these other longings, they are not satisfying. But this one, him, he satisfies on a level which brings satisfaction that nothing else does. This is good. I've got to finish. So, longing. And I'm just going to jump right now, partly for time's sake, but I'm going to jump because I want to point to something for us, okay? We've got in this passage that we read that Jesus came alongside and he walked and he talked with his people. And this is what he does. And he comes and he walks in our lives and he walks and he talks with us. We hear the sound of his voice. There is a response on the inside. And there is a burning heart. And do you know what he does with those burning hearts is he brings them together in a place. Johnny talked about this, in a location for his glory. He gathers together the fellowship of the burning heart. And all these longing ones come together and they are gathered by him. And in Isaiah chapter 56, and again, we're not going to turn there because of time, but I want to point to this for us. In Isaiah chapter 56, obviously speaking in prophecy, and he's prophesying about the people of God, and that God will gather from the nations and people that were strangers and foreigners and whoever, those at a distance, he would gather them, he would bring them into his household, he would gather them. And then it says something in Isaiah 56, and you can read it down, but it says this, that when he has done that gathering together of his people for his glory, and it says this, I will, this is linked to what Jeff was talking about, I will make them joyful in my house of prayer, my household of fellowship with me. This is what God does. And when he identifies his people and he identifies his household, he says this, identifying factor of the people of God. He said, this people group, my people, called by my name, my people, he identifies in that way, my people, and he says, I will cause them to be joyful in my house of prayer. Interesting. Now, this is where it gets a bit sticky. Why? Because for some of us, in our minds, when we think about a household of prayer,
What's going on? Some of our experiences of that are not what God intended. Are you with me? Let's be honest. Sometimes we can think, oh, that sounds a bit boring, isn't it? But you know what? I honestly believe God has for us is that he will help us to see that joy in his household, house of prayer, that he will help us to see that differently. And you know what it will do in you and in me? It will cause a longing. Honestly. And it's just like, yes, yes, there, there. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Now somehow, and God help us with this, somehow he will help us to separate part of our own history if it's necessary. It's not always, but if it's necessary, he will help us to distinguish. And he will make us, this is wonderful. Have you ever put these two things together before? Where is it that God will make his people joyful? You're struggling with this thought, aren't you? In his household of prayer. But we've got to think differently, I think, often about prayer. I really do. And we need to think more in terms of joy and intimacy and worship. We're going to bring music. When we go in there, connect groups together, and it's just like we're going to bring music and worship and praise and longing after God. That's not intense heaviness. It really isn't. It can be, but it doesn't need to be. God has put something in us, and it's just like I'm longing after him. I'm longing after him. I'm longing after him. God has put this in me. Do you know, here it is coming out right now. One of the things that God has put in my heart for his church, local, in a place, this place. And it's like, Matt, what's there? What's in you? What do you want? What's the vision? What's the longing? And there may be other things, but listen, this, that God would gather a people from all the nations, and that people would be a household of prayer first, of intimacy with Jesus. Everything else comes out of that place. And the amazing thing, the closest thing to heaven on earth, and I mean it, he will change our minds on this point. The closest thing to heaven on earth is when God gathers his people together by one spirit and he teaches them to pray in the spirit. And it's like, what have your experiences of prayer meetings? Do you know what I'm thinking at the moment? I've got to come up with different language, different words. Because words often have connotations and they're not always helpful. And you think, prayer meeting. And you think, oh, I think the footy's on. It's like, isn't it? It's like, where's my get out clause? And it's like, I get it. But not when we see this. Not when we see fire. Not when he puts a fellowship of the burning heart amongst his people, and we gather for his glory, and we are actually led by his spirit in the moment. Do you know that you can bring your longings to the collective people of God, and we can pray for one another? There is stuff going on in your families. I know there is in my family. And we can come together, and they are real things, aren't they? And they are real longings. And we can share them out together. And it's like, and what happens in that moment? And there's like this spark of God. And we share together. And then the collective people of God, hearing the voice of God, zoom to that moment.
And it's like prayer. It's like, oh, this is exciting, isn't it? It is. It is God. And he's like, these are my people. These are my people called by my name. He loves his church. He loves his people. And he'll gather from the nations. And then this is what he does. And from this place, everything flows. Amen? Right, time's well gone. Jesus, we're grateful for the way that you work. We thank you that you are the active one. You are the one who works. And you somehow, this miracle of grace, you include us into your activity. And Lord, we pray that you in these days would put your desires in our hearts. And that we together would burn. And that we would burn brightly. And that we would burn brightly for your glory, we pray. Amen.